First and foremost, on quick hits, Miami. I don't really get a chance to talk about his Miami as much. Thank you to Omega Jack. I don't get a chance to talk about Miami as much, but Miami, there was a triple shooting at a gas station last night. Check it out.
Details tonight. Miami police have announced a man is in custody in connection to the deadly triple shooting that left two employees dead at a Miami gas station this morning. CBS News Miami's Nakaya Carrero has more on what we've learned within the last hour.
Two men are dead and one is here at Ryder Trauma Center fighting for his life after a shooting at a Miami gas station. The suspect found by SWAT team across the street in an apartment building.
We got a total of three victims, two inside and one outside. Victims, and looks like two may be 45, the other one is still alive.
What you just heard is a City of Miami police officer who arrived to the Chevron gas station on Northwest 54th Street and 17th Avenue, responding to a call for three men shot. The shooter, nowhere to be found.
White Hispanic male, black long hair, with a black hoodie, white lettering on the hoodie that possibly says the word power on it. He's got a handlebar mustache.
City of Miami police said the shooting took place around 12:30 a.m. It started with an argument inside the gas station. That's when the suspect shot the two employees and then shot the third man before running off. Customers say the two victims were Sunny and Moon to everybody.
What is this world coming to, man? These guys, I haven't seen them do nothing but help people. I mean, people come in there short, don't have money. They feed them, give them coffee. They give me free coffee every day, you know?
I've been crying all afternoon. One of them was I was close to.
As the gas station remains roped off with crime scene tape, officers and a SWAT team move in on the apartment building across the street.
A million cars, tanks, and about 10 minutes later, I saw them. About five or six cops putting him in the back of the car.
Officers eventually bringing a man out in handcuffs, seen in this video. And as police continue their investigation, people in the area say this shooting hits close to home.
Moon and Sunny, the two of the best people in this area.
There ain't too many nice people in the world today, but these guys are really nice, man, and they didn't deserve it.
The City of Miami Police Department continues to investigate the shooting and the circumstances leading up to it.
Imagine being the person that's a pillar for the community and that your business is not just the business that people come to patronize, but also a business that, you know, knows its customers, gives back to its community. When people need something, they go ahead and give it to them for free. Imagine being that and then... Again, you open up a business in a neighborhood and then one person come in, get into an argument. Next thing you know, they shooting everybody. And that's the end of the conversation. That's the end of the story. Imagine being that person. I'm telling y'all, it does not pay. I know y'all be wanting to go back to the hood. You want to open up businesses. Man, listen, bro. I'm telling you. I remember when I first got into real estate, it was my first come to Jesus aha moment. And I had got a couple properties and it was successful. And I said, you know what? I want to go back and build into my community and stuff. And so we went and we bought a couple houses over there and we were starting to rehab them. And the first thing that happened, the first night that we got something valuable in there. So we locked it up really tight and we did the things and all of that. And then we wind up coming back the next morning and everything was stolen. We said, nah, this is not it. This is not it. Nah, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it because it's not going to be conducive for us. So we're going to go ahead and walk away from that situation. We just took our L's, learned our lesson, made the adjustment, and continued to invest in the things that made the most sense. So, unfortunate for the people over there in Miami, unfortunate for the people that it happened to. We praying for the families as usual. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. Nobody deserves to be shot, handled. And let me also say this, and I've been saying this for a long time, and I know a lot of y'all that's not resonating with y'all, but let me also say this for y'all. For my people, that's so tough. I know y'all the toughest people in the world. I know you ready to stand on yours. You got to make sure that you demand your respect from people. Your job is to get home. Shout out to McCole's Wellness and Motion. I'm going to read that super chat shortly. Your job, let me tell you what your job is as a man. Your job as a man is to not leave your wife as a widow and as your kid being left without a father. Your job every single day, before we get into this next story, your job every day as a man is to get home safely to your family. I know everybody want to be tough. I know y'all standing on principles and tough talk, and y'all going to stomp the yard. Your job as a man is to get home safely to your family. It's okay to walk away. It's okay not to go to jail. It's okay not to crash out. It's okay not to be all in other people's stuff and finding yourself under duress or arrested or fighting a case, and you got to use your whole family's life savings and your daughter's and your son's college tuition to fight a case just because you standing on business for a bunch of people on the internet that don't care nothing about you. Your job every day is to get home safely and make sure that your family is taken care of. Ain't nobody gonna be checking for you when you all gone, because they're going to read your obituary. They're going to talk about your story. Your chick's still going to be widowed, and your daughter and your sons is going to not have a father. And they people going to go on, and they're going to move on after their life, after they tell you you're a real one. That's your job. Also in quick hits, Chicago. Remember when we was talking about that $70 million that Brandon Johnson in Chicago was advocating for migrants, even though we was getting rid of ShotSpotter and all of that stuff? Chicago, all of their aldermen and the mayor and everything, they got that approved. They got their $70 million more for migrants on top of what they was already getting and what they budgeted for. They got their $70 million. Check it out.
The Finance Committee approved another $70 million to spend on supporting migrants. But there was some reluctance. Some council members say that the city is not spending money on its own residents who are also in need. Chicagoans had to give up Park District facilities to house the new arrivals in Chicago. The city reports all of the Park District field houses have been cleared and returned to the neighborhoods. But money is still needed for migrant care. And with the Democratic National Convention coming up, there could be more migrants dispatched to the city. Alderpersons approve the money, but they want something in return.
And when we talk about this money, And as important as our children are to us, as important as a place like Ogden Park, the field house is to the Inglewood community where shootings take place, where every economic indicator, health indicator, everything, everybody should be jumping at that to protect our children and give us the things that we need.
If we're going to be asked to approve this kind of supplemental funding, we absolutely, on behalf of our constituents, have to have transparency around how these funds are being spent.
The city is expecting the state and federal government to help out, but one council member said that the federal government's action so far is to do nothing. The full city council will have to approve this measure. Joni Lum, Fox 30.
So, like I said, I was keeping y'all up to date, and I told y'all that I was going to keep on top of making sure that y'all knew what was going to happen as far as them going after and trying to make sure that they get this $70 million for the migrants, and they fight for this money. They budget for it. They cut services. They go into debt for it. They pass millages. They're going to get that money. But when it comes to y'all safety and putting more officers on the streets and giving them raises and promotions and making sure a shot spotter and a crime prevention and more cameras and better public safety and all of the stuff for the people so that you can then lower crime and raise property values and actually add value into people's lives, we're not going to talk about that part. So that's what's happening over in Chicago.
Drone 4 showing you General Motors' current home, the iconic Renaissance Center. But in the background, their future headquarters, now called Hudson's Detroit. Thanks for being here with us for the News at 6. I'm Kimberly Gill.
And I'm Damon Fernandez, in for Devin Skillian. In one simple move few saw coming, General Motors agrees to move out of the Rensen and to a brand new spot right around the corner.
Yeah, this is big news. This all, of course, raises all sorts of questions about the future of the building, which has stood as the defining structure of Detroit's skyline since construction was completed back in 1976. Business editor Rod Maloney live to break down what came out of a joint news conference between GM and Bedrock. Rod.
Well, Kimberly, you know, this was as stunning as it was back in 1996. I was there when GM announced that they were going to buy the Rensen for $75 million. They've since put $1 billion into it, but it's a tough building. It's always been difficult for them. And now this seems to make as much sense as buying the Rensen did back 28 years ago. So let's talk about that a little bit. General Motors now only has about 2,500 employees downtown after COVID. Much of the operation moved to the tech center up in Warren. And apparently, Dan Gilbert has long had this idea as he built his massive tower here downtown of moving GM into the office tower, which sits in front here.
Today, I could not be more pleased to welcome General Motors to Hudson's Detroit.
Dan Gilbert made his stamp even more indelible on Detroit's landscape, GM foregoing its longtime headquarters on the river and moving into the newly named Hudson's Detroit building. The new GM logo shown on a video screen for the first time here. Mary Barra saying it's a full circle move.
And this is our fourth headquarters here, starting with the very first one on Woodward between Fort and Congress.
Mayor Mike Duggan saying Dan Gilbert first pitched him on this idea 6 years ago.
And I said, Dan, they haven't been in the Renaissance Center that long. Are they even looking for a new headquarters? He says, nah, they don't realize they need one yet. He says, but I'm going to pitch them.
Now, stepping back and looking at this major Detroit business shift is longtime Detroit real estate analyst and retail specialist Jim Beery. He leased the retail operation inside the Rensen before GM bought it and says it's actually a good thing Bedrock will now do the heavy lifting of repurposing the Rensen.
They'll be able to do some things with that building that General Motors wouldn't, because General Motors is not, their DNA is not made up to operate a multi-story, multi-disciplined building.
And rather than look at the tall hill to climb to give the Rensen relevance again, Beery sees it as most entrepreneurs do.
And this is a kind of a space that could attract something we can't think of. And so maybe there's an opportunity from that perspective.
So a lot of people don't realize, so...
Well, it attracts something really we quick. Can't think of.
So if you see it, if you look over and to the right, where it looks like it's a building over there on in construction, that's the new building. So to the left, you see the water. That's the Detroit River. The Detroit River actually divides Canada and Detroit. So a lot of people actually go over to Canada for the daytime, or it's a lot of Canadians that comes over into the city and works in a city, and then they go back to Canada. Or a lot of them, actually, I've been meeting a lot of them on a people mover. A lot of people has actually been moving over from Windsor in Canada over into the city. That's the GM Renaissance building. Bedrock Detroit is now going to repurpose this whole entire building. I'm not sure what the plan is for it. I've personally made some phone calls to people that is a part of Bedrock, and hopefully I can get some insight and I can get some, you know, understanding as to what is going to happen. But all of this is redeveloped completely, When y'all see me live streaming at night on Wednesday and you see my background and you see the GM Renaissance Center, that's what you're looking at right there. When y'all see the water, then y'all see the water and the Detroit River. And then it's a river walk that runs all the way from down at my building all the way down to Belle Isle, which is its own island and stuff like that. So the building that's all the way in the distance on the right hand side is actually the new building, the new Hudson's building, that's being built. And it's also going to be not only GM's headquarters, but it's going to be a lot of retail space. It's going to be a hotel and it's going to be residences. So I had planned to originally move into a penthouse that was in a new building that's now housing GM. But instead, I decided to move to the other building because I felt like the views was better. I could see the water more and I could see more of the city. So this is part of what I'll be talking about as far as the evolution of the city. And what is becoming, it's a lot of billionaires in the city that's rebuilding it, including the Illich companies that own Little Caesars Pizza and Comerica Park. And then you got the Ford companies that's owning a Ford Field, and that's directly across the street from Comerica Park. And then they rebuilding a train station, which actually opens this year. And then on top of that, you got GM continuing to recertify themselves as a part of the fabric of Detroit. And then Dan Gilbert and Quicken Loans. They've moved all of their employees down into the city from other parts of the country and from the suburbs. And so the city is actually going up in a lot of value, and there's so many opportunities and so much money to be made. And a lot of people don't understand it. And all the time I keep telling y'all, y'all miss it. By the time you catch it, it's going to be too late. Listen, The people that make the most money are the buyers. It's not the Me Tours, it's the buyers. But let me play a little bit more of this, and then we're going to get over into the next part of the show.
And so maybe there's an opportunity from that perspective.
Now, that is the optimistic vision for the Rensen. There are a lot of people.
And if you look at all of that construction in the back, and it's a lot of people walking, it's because the NFL draft is coming in a couple weeks. And so they're blocking off all of the traffic and setting stuff. And then that's the Shinola Hotel that's directly across the street from the New Hudson Center. So.
What in the heck Dan Gilbert is going to be able to do with it? They talk about maybe putting some housing in that, but getting plumbing up and down in that building has long been an issue. So it's a problem, and the question of whether they can actually salvage it or will it become a largely vacant place that very few people could really make it around and navigate inside, we'll have to see. But Dan Gilbert and his team have taken that job on. And as I talked to Sandy Barua, the head of the Chamber of Commerce, the other day, he says, I don't bet against Dan Gilbert. So we'll see what they do. Back to you.
Rod, I know you said GM only has about 2,500 people working in the Rensen building. Mm-hmm. How long do you think it'll take for GM to move those employees from there to the New Hudson's Detroit mm-hmm. building?
Right. They have not given us specifics yet, but the building isn't finished, so they got to finish it first. Sure. They just topped it off last week, and that's for the big tower. For the office building, it's going to take some time, so they're saying probably 2025. We're not sure.
So it's a lot of development. I'm very excited to be a part of the fabric of the city, and the fact that everything continues to grow and things continue to evolve. I see so many people moving in. It's a lot of people moving inside of my building. It's some people that I met that's a couple people that I met that's famous that I'm not going to say because, you know, they want to make sure that they stay low key. But Deion Sardines, we're not talking about that. So it's a lot going on, and I'm very excited to be a part of it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a part of your Quick Hits.